Well, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Last Thursday, we stopped at verse number 9. And remember that I call this Daniel's vision of four kings. Remember, we saw the different beasts while you're turning to Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. We saw the four beasts last Thursday. First was a lion, the second was a bear, the third was a leopard, the fourth was a nondescript beast, then especially the 10 horns and then a little horn. And then finally, let's read verse number 9, 10, and 11 of chapter 7 together, verse 9. I beheld, so the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, and his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. The fiery stream issued and came forth from him before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and ten thousand stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which he spake, the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. Right in verse number 9, as these four beasts, which were four kingdoms apparently, and probably the four kingdoms that preceded the setting up of the millennial reign, what's the first kingdom in the image of that? Babylon. All right, image was Babylon. Babylon was the first, and what was next after him? We're in chapter 7, verse 9. Yes. What was the second kingdom?
Persia.
Medo-Persia. And the third kingdom? Greece. And the fourth kingdom? Rome. And then there's a revival of the Roman Empire, apparently. And then what's the kingdom that knocks down that whole statue? The Lord Jesus Christ, in the millennial reign of Christ, smashes the statue, it falls down. And that's where probably in verse number 9 we pick up. So the thrones were cast down. Which thrones? Was it? All the worldly thrones of all these four beasts. The Babylon throne, the Medo-Persian throne, the Roman, the Greece and Rome, and so on. We said last Thursday, maybe the Ancient of Days was the Lord Jesus Christ, but it seems like in verse number 13, the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days, so maybe it's the Father. But it certainly seems like it's the Lord Jesus from some of the descriptions. Why do we say that? The garment was white as snow. Remember? Like in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, there's a picture. Let's take a keep your place here, Daniel 7. Let's take a look at Revelation, chapter 1, the description of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I suppose we took it as that. But chapter 1, and what verse? Verse 4. Okay, read that verse 4 for us.
Am I the right place?
Yes, Revelation 1 and verse, well, let's see, verse 4, let's see, the description of the Lord. But maybe verse 14. 14, read 14 there for us. Yes, go ahead, that's right. Yeah. So this seems to be, this Lord Jesus there, so it seems similar. But white as snow, and his hair pure wool, and his throne was like the fiery flame, his wheels were burning fire. So whether it's the Son or whether it's the Father, it seems like they say in verse number 14, the Son of Man, in verse 13, came to the Ancient of Days. So it's he's the Father or the Son. It seems very similar. And then in verse number 10, what issued forth from the one who came?
Fiery stream.
Did he have any helpers? I think it's the Lord Jesus Christ, probably, but did he have any helpers in verse number 10? Yes, thousands of them. In fact, 10,000 times 10,000. Now, yes, Anna? Yes, stood before him, all right, that's right. And see, thousands ministered unto him and stood before him. In other words, they stood before him, they also ministered unto him. See, it probably refers to the angels. Now, those of you who are mathematically inclined, what is 10,000 times 10,000? Just 1 million? 10,000 times 10 would be... I seem to figure, I may be wrong, that's what I got. I was talking to Bill there. By the way, Bill has a niece Amy that might be listening. He told her about it, and she was looking on their internet, and she lives down in what area?
Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Lake Charles, Louisiana, so she may be listening. So, Phil and I were talking about this. Take your own picture, Bill, so she'll be sure.
That's what I look like.
I know, but she got to prove that you're here. She, plus, you're talking to her. All right, so 10 minutes. Bill and I were talking about this last week and tonight's one. If my mathematics are right, and of course, Tammy's are perfect, so it's 100 million. We agree with her. Well, I'll stay with that. That's what I was figuring, too.
If it was 4 zeros and 10,000, then 4 zeros plus 4 million
is 80 million. And 100 million would be 3 to 8 zeros. That's right. Yeah.
Right.
1 million is 6 zeros, and 100 million is 8 zeros, right?
1 million.
Oh, 6 zeros
would be
100,000. No, 1 million is a 1, 3 zeros.
1 million is 6 zeros.
Dr. Williams, if you want to help us out, go ahead. You're a mathematical genius, I'm sure, with all your medical concerns. 100 million is right. 10 million. Right. 1,000 times 10,000. All right.
I have a question.
A million is 1, 6 zeros. And when somebody has a six-figure income, what does that mean? Well, six figures. Well, that's 6 zeros, but six figures. 100,000 is 6 figures. So, to make a million, how many figures do you have to have for that? I have to have 7 figures. See, but 6 figures is 100,000. That's 100,000. That's 6 figures, right? Could be 200,000, 300,000, 400,000, but at least 100,000. 5 figures would be 99,000 or whatever like that.
I don't understand.
All right, 99,000. All right, so... We had lots of angels and angelical ministry before. Then, what happened then in verse number 10? After the Lord Jesus, I think the Ancient of Days was the Father or Son. I believe it's the Son because of what's happened later. But what happens then? The judgment was said, and what else? The books were opened. That's a picture also of the Book of Revelation. What does that picture? Judgment seat or the great white throne? Great white throne judgment, the books were open, another book was open, which is what?
The
Lamb's Book of Life. And whosoever had not written the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. So the books were open. See, so this is apparently after the Lord Jesus returns, the rapture first takes place first. 10 minutes later is the tribulation. After the tribulation comes back, that'll be Armageddon, and then judgment takes place. Yes, Bob, or Anna, I mean?
And then
there
was given them dominion and glory,
the
kingdom, and all people,
nations,
and languages,
and children, and dominion, and everlasting dominion. Yes, I don't think it's necessarily chronological, and I think that this refers right here in verse 10 of the Great White Throne Judgment. The books are open, but before that judgment, then all this other takes place. You go back to the tribulation period, the 7 years, Daniel's 7 years, we can believe. And then in verse number 11, who was talking in verse 11? This horn, the little horn. See, last time there was 10 horns out of that fourth kingdom. There were 10 horns, and then 3 wiped out. There were 3 that were lost, and then there was a little horn was the leader. Now, that speaks of the tribulation period of the Antichrist, maybe it's the Antichrist. So this, the little horn spoke, and then the beast was slain. The beast, one of the, perhaps that fourth beast we talked about earlier, finally destroyed, gave it a burning flame. Let's read verse 12, 13, and 14 together. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, that their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. All right, so the beast in verse 12 these four kingdoms, what happened to their power?
Taken away.
Elias pronounced for a little while, but then in verse 13, what happened? What happened in verse 13? Right? One like the Son of Man came to the cloud. What was that picture? Was it the Lord Jesus? Probably the like the Son of Man coming in the clouds. What phase of the second coming would that be? The first phase or the second phase? First phase of the second coming? Or the second phase? The second phase. See, the rapture, will anybody see on this earth when the Lord Jesus comes to take away his believers in the rapture? Or will it be caught up and nobody sees? But here in the second phase, they come in the clouds of heaven, all three eyes shall see him and behold him when he comes to the earth to set up his millennial reign and put down, first of all, at Battle of Armageddon, the evil feet. Second phase. Feet touched the earth. I would think this would be the second phase of the second coming. Yeah, Ma?
I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the ancient of days, and they brought him near him.
Yes, well, that's why I said at the very first.
How can the Son of Man come to the ancient of days?
Well, they seem to be like God the Father of the ancient of days, but the description in verse number 9 seems like it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, well, that's true. Unless the ancient is, well, of course, it's the Trinity. They brought him near before him. Yes, Dan?
At the ascension,
So apparently the visibility, you might have thought on it. And the second phase of his coming.
So there's clouds involved in both phases.
There's clouds in both phases, first phase and second phase. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. See, this is a reference to the second phase. No, that's another place in Scripture that talks about his coming in the clouds. Oh, there.
I thought
that's when he was coming. We'll just leave that up in the air if you wish to. You see, one like the king of the ancient, they brought him near before him. But in verse number 14, it says there was given him dominion. Well, you see, at the rapture, he's not given dominion on this earth. It has to be a second phase of coming to the earth. When his feet will touch the Mount of Olives, he'll rule and reign 1,000 years after that. So that's why I believe this is the second phase. This country. Everything's fine. All right, that's good. So he came in. Came the ancient. That's why I said ancient age in verse 9 and ancient age in verse 13. If it's the Father, then it's the Father. But it seems like there's characteristics of the Son. But we know for sure in verse 13, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Then yes, what? Thousand ministers.
Do they have bodies or are they just spirits?
Well, I think angels are spirits. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, it says they're ministering spirits sent forth to those who should be the heirs of salvation. See, they're just spirits. They can take bodies like they were in the Old Testament. They came to Abraham and before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. They had bodies that could be seen at the resurrection in the grave. And so on, but they're basically spirits, ministering spirits. They're spirits, that's right. Well, whether you can see spirits or not, I'm sure the Lord can see them and so on. I mean, they wouldn't have bodies like we have and like the Lord Jesus had. See, God is a spirit. He worships the spirit and truth. And the angels, Lucifer and all, he's an evil spirit. And when he gets into some body in a form, as you can see, that the angel of light. But in his essence, he's just a spirit. Of course, you and I are just spirits and souls. We have bodies, but the essence of any of us is spirit and soul. That's it. And that is the inside person. The real person is the spirit and soul.
Now,
Buddy? Yeah.
Wasn't there an angel she mentioned when Mary came to put oil on the body?
And like the body, yes.
That angel was identified as an angel.
Yes.
Or a being of light.
That's right. That's right. So in that case, they appear in the body. So just like in Lot and Abraham, rather, when they wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Angelic beings, two of them, they came and knocked on the door and talked to Abraham. So angels can appear in bodies. Like to Mary, an angel. Who art thou? I'm thinking he was an angel, but it was the Lord Jesus, the resurrected body. So in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when the Lord Jesus, in the Gospel of John, Mary went to the tomb, and there was Jesus, and thought it was an angel. No, this was the...
I was thinking of Mary. Inside the tomb, and the why do you see the living among the dead?
Yes, that's right, right at the tomb.
Right.
And he's not here, he's risen. She was in the place where the Lord
was. There
was an angel, that's right. So angelic beings are spirits. They're not with bodies, but they have maybe an area of so that can be seen, but they're not embodied any more than the Father of the Holy Spirit gets the time. Was it? Yes, you remember, she thought he was the gardener. And touched me, handled me, don't touch me not, I might get ascended to the Father. See, in other words, before he went to present this blood on the mercy seat of heaven, he could not be touched. But later on, he came back to this earth, handled me, and see, a spirit had not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So she thought it was a spirit, thought it was an angel, but it was the Lord Jesus himself, the resurrected form. That's in John, I believe, chapter 20, 21, 20. All right, this is Father Heaven, dominion. Did we read 14, 15, 16? Where did we stop reading? We read 14? I give dominion, as far as I can. What does this refer to? When is given to the Lord Jesus Christ a dominion and a kingdom? When he's reigning. How long will that reign take place? For 1,000 years, that's called what?
Millennium.
That's Latin for what? 1,000 years. Millennium is 1,000 animals years. 1,000 years. Millennium. So, what's going to happen there to that millennium? And verse 14. There we go, serve him. Now, will it be saved people that enter the millennium? No people entering the millennium?
Oh, yes, all people will be lost.
All right, everybody entering the millennium will be saved. If they live, they'll be all saved during the millennium, and that enter the millennium. What about the 1,000 years? Are anybody going to still stay? Are all the people in the millennium going to be saved?
No,
they're going to be, some will be saved and some will be lost. In other words, how long will the life expectancy last? Roughly in the millennium. Child will die at 100. If a child is 10, he dies now, it's not longer 10, but he's 100, that's 10 times. So we see 10, so it's just 10.
Prior to the flood.
How old was the oldest man recorded in the scripture? Methuselah. How old was he?
900 and some years.
900 what?
969.
969, that's right. So it'll be extended because of. That's, well, yes, that's right. In the year of his death, the flood came. We believe that the years will be as the years of a tree. Isaiah chapter 65 or 66 talks about the child will die at the age of 100. And life expectancy is going to be extended at that time because it will be a different earth. Just like before the flood. Before all the damage was done, before the fall, the different, completely desert, blossoming as the rose, this desert, the Syrian desert, all this black desert. We read in Isaiah just recently, just the other day, that God is going to plant trees in the desert, all kinds of trees, all kinds of very green trees. You can't find a tree that will grow in the desert, but during the millennial reign of Christ, everything will change. Topography, the mountains will be changed, everything. The hills will go up and down, just like before the flood. Because when the flood came, the whole earth was seized up and things just changed completely.
I read that there was probably no salt water, that the oceans were
possibly
all fresh water.
Possibly. until the hospital sold, because everything was fresh and clean and verdant, and the whole earth was it's like summertime. And that's why they could find up in the North Pole vegetation. You dig a thing up in grass. How did it get grass up there? Well, one day the whole earth before the fall was just a nice climate. A vegetative climate just like our climate is today. Have
I?
Well,
well,
let's go back to the 7-year period of tribulation. First of all, let's take the rapture of the church. How many people are going to go out when the rapture of the church takes place? All the Christians. Is it going to be only those that are in the special Baptist church that are in the body of Christ?
No.
Is it going to be all those that are saved? Is it only going to be a partial rapture? Some people teach a partial rapture. Just a few people that are good ones. It's going to be everyone that's born again, genuinely born again. Are there some people that think they're born again and not born again?
Yes,
there are. In fact, a fellow wrote me an email the other day. He said, what is your view? Well, I guess it was on the telephone. I can't remember the telephone. What is your view of easy believism? I guess it was on the telephone. I said, well, sir, I say we've got to be very careful in this, because the only way any of us can be saved is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith. But that cannot be just a head faith. Must be a heart faith, a genuine faith. Explain a little bit. Oh, thank you. And a lot of people, you have to, in a sense, I use the word repent in the sense of metanoia, change your mind about your sin, meaning you realize you're a sinner, about the Savior, realizing he's Savior, and then you have to accept and receive that, genuinely. I said, I think the people that have said, beware of easy believers, is because a lot of people go around, knock on the door, say, receive the Lord Jesus, accept him, and you say, yes, that's goodbye, that's. That may or may not be true. See, in other words, you don't know it. You've got to be very sure that the people realize what the good news is and what they have to do to accept and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why people are preaching about this. But when you say you're against easy believers, and it almost seems like you're going to be saved by works or some other way. See, Bill?
A lot of the preachers on television, they have people say the sinner's prayer, and then they congratulate the people, telling them that they are now saved.
Yes.
And it seems like a lot of people are going to these mega churches because they can cover their bases, so to speak.
Yeah.
Have their salvation, and then when they leave the church, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Yes, it's wrong. That's right.
That's wrong. That's not salvation.
That's right. There was a man by the name of Bill Wright. He had Campus Crusade years ago, as I was growing up as a student at the University of Michigan. Campus Crusade, was it?
You were a pastor.
Well, I know, but he had something, I think, also. His name was Bill Bright, and he was a graduate of Dallas, I think, at Dallas Seminary.
Yeah.
And I was going there, and he was an older man than I. He had this Campus Crusade, and Tammy, tell us about what that Campus Crusade is. You were in on it.
Right, no, I wasn't.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
But
you know what?
My resident
husband,
that was one of the first persons I told
her I was saved. And
she,
and I, but, and it hadn't come down, so
she went over the
course
first law.
Which
I didn't specifically remember them as such, but, you know, they're,
that
was
a wonderful time for your life as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's all written now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was talking to her and told her about the Romans 10, verse 9, about the circumstances of the Jesus who lives and prophesied and actually saved. And then the next verse, and so she was basically urging me on to obedience that, you know, I needed to confess my mouth and tell people that I was a believer. And so anyway, she was aware of the cancer as well, she knew how she could have done it. And while there, I knew some people that were attending there as well. That's the confession that will make that she was in love with the cancer space. She did give me that.
Uh-huh.
Now,
in the four spiritual laws, there wasn't a single thing that said, when you're here, you're a lost, hell-bound sinner. Sin was gone. Nothing about sin. It's just a nice little thing. It's just see, there's so many different things that are sort of phony. They're superficial. Was it?
I think we
Some people might have gotten saved, but it wasn't because they got the straight scoop about their condition. See, in other words, if you don't realize you're a sinner and lost, how are you going to want to be saved? How are you going to want to be a sinner? See, so there's lots of things that are very superficial. We've got to be very careful. I remember that in the church, we used to go every Monday night at the Bible school over there in Philadelphia. And one of the fellows who was a deacon at the time, he said he went out on a wonderful time. 10 people prayed. Well, I'm glad they prayed, but what he meant was, you just pray and you're saved. See, well, I hope they're saved, but how do you know they're saved? I'm sure big people come on Billy Graham meetings, come forward. So I hope now some of them are saved, but the others, they just come forward and think that's it. But that genuineness is not there. We've got to be very careful about superficiality in salvation. We've got to know for sure. Amy?
That was the one thing about the
I think the question was, how do you know that everybody coming into the millennium was saved? We went back to the tribulation period and said, how do you enter into that one? As everybody being saved, the rapture, all Christians will be gone. Therefore, when the rapture takes place, not a single born-again Christian will be here on this earth. Everybody's lost. Now, how in the 7 years can people get saved? How? What is it? How? 144,000 evangelists. What is their religion or their background nationally? They're Jews. Are they saved Jews or lost Jews? They're going to be saved. God saved them. See? And what are they going to do, these 144,000? Evangelize all over the world. They can use all the means necessary. Television, internet, everything we have right now. And people by the thousands and millions in this earth will be saved. Diana?
And with 144,000, will they be brought to salvation? Won't
they
be brought to salvation through the Word of God?
Yes, I think through the Word of God, they'll be brought to salvation. That's why we've got to keep the King James Bible active. Because if they keep changing and changing and changing the Bible, they won't have enough gospel in them to save anybody. I believe they'll be saved. God miraculously. Now, 144,000, what makeup do these 144,000 have? What is it? How are they made up? 12,000 from every one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's how that, so they'll be saved. Now, the Antichrist will slay everybody that's saved as soon as he can, and then at the end of that tribulation, the ones that are saved will be taken up and caught up in a like the saved people, just like in a, after the thing is over, be caught up to the Lord, and so then in the millennium, no, I guess they won't be caught up to the Lord, they will, the saved ones, will, now the Antichrist will kill a lot of them, but the rest of them will go into the millennial reign of Christ. And they'll be saved when they go in.
Because
after the Battle of Armageddon, and see, because the lost ones will be destroyed and beset and judged at that time. Yes, Anna?
And when Christ comes, at the Battle of Armageddon, all the
I'll be slain. That's right. All from north, south, east, and west around Jerusalem, all fighting against the situation. So anyhow, they'll be saved in the millennium. But then when the children are born, they won't be, unless they see Christ as Savior, they will be lost. In 1,000 years, there are a lot of children born, a lot of people born. Especially if you live a 1,000 years old, you see, you're going to have lots of children. Now, during the millennium, what will their attitude be toward the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the King? They'll be obedient. Well, they're saved or lost. They'll be obedient. Then when Satan, remember, Satan is bound for how many years? 1,000 years. And then when he's loose, what's going to happen then? He'll rally the nations around for another battle, and all these unsaved people will come to life, and Satan will motivate them, and so God's going to have to do it. So,
there'll be another battle then?
There'll be another battle, because he'll gather the people around the Lord Jesus, around the saints of Jerusalem, to fight in the battle of the war. He'll be put down again, so he didn't learn his lessons. In other words, the nations will be after God. He'll stir them up again. So,
then
they will be the king, Satan. It'll be the new heaven, new earth, and the Satan and his armies, the threefold, the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist, will be judged and cast into the lake of fire. And that's the end of him. You see, in other words, then everybody will be judged at the great white throne judgment for the lost. And then the millennial kingdom will be finished, and then the eternal state. The eternal state will take place, new heaven, new earth. So there's a lot of things that happen, but he has dominion, the kingdom, all the nation likers should serve him. And his dominion will be an everlasting dominion. What does dominion mean? What is it? Well, it's a domicile of place, but the dominion is what? What is it? Like a ruler. A dominion is something that you have in power. That means you have the rule over. See, when you have a dominion, you have a rule over something. And so you'll have the rule over, everlasting, which will not pass away, and the kingdom which will not be destroyed. We'll stop right here, verse 14, and get through fire tonight. But if you have any other comments or questions before we close, we'll pick this up. Well, yes,
quick question.
Yes. Yes.
When
we are raptured, something like that, I wanted
to
see it.
Does that mean when we go, we are raptured,
with
the people around, if there's
somebody
there, we won't see
it
go?
Will
be like invisible?
Will be changed, and this is Quentin and I, and we've caught up together with him.
But like, it's so quick.
I would think so. In other words, I can't explain all the details, but it'll be in a fraction of a split second, twinkling of an eye. And so, the people will realize we're gone.
Yeah.
So you're sitting here in the chair, and some unsaved person comes in there, and you don't see him anymore, and you know something happened to him. But you'll be transformed.
It's so quick, that's probably why.
Quick and caught up.
And like,
that's right.
If
you're gone. That's right. It's just like some people in these television plays, you know, they're all by hook or by crook. They can make people disappear before the screen. That's just all fake. But it's the same thing in reality. And so when we're gone, they'll say, what happened? See, and of course,
there'll be all different stories.
All different stories.
Yeah, they won't say that Jesus came.
No.
Because
the
Antichrist
will
be
here. Yeah. So that's interesting. Any other comments or questions? We have Tammy?
Now, what's that film that we saw before it was made with like little ones that really got me frightened? The title didn't make any sense. It was called Thief the Night.
Thief the Night.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's very interesting, you know. I've never heard, I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yes. A lot of people dispute the rapture. A lot of people are writing books now saying that's not going to happen. That's all just came in the T.N. Garvey's time and Schofield and so on. But it's in the Bible. Yes, Anna?
They don't think it's true. I know they explained before.
That's a good question. I don't know how they explain it. They explain it away. That's how I explain it. Yes, Tom?
I can't believe, but the Bible study about the theology class brought up.
Yes, and that's the
chapter afterwards. I didn't. I mean,
Yes, all those early church fathers, yes.
When
the Dark Ages, come down, meditate after
reformation.
The Dance Algebra class this time, be Wednesday at 10 o'clock, yes.
Wednesday
at 10 o'clock. Wednesday, yes, so if you listen on TV, come here and visit. See, come here and see us.
Okay, okay.
Okay, yes, Anna. You can come to Anna.
It's going to be the next time.
This Thursday, yeah, Wednesday, yes, that's for sure. Yeah, we've got it all set. Right, Bill?
Yes.
Wednesday at 10. Yes, Anna?
There might not be lots of
writing
about the
darkness,
but there
were
probably people who still believe in it.
Uh-huh, that's right. You know, at Dallas Theological Seminary, Dr. Walber was teaching this class on millennialism. And I said, Dr. Walber asked me a question. How can you say that the church fathers have talked about kiliasm, and kili is 1,000 in Greek, and kiliasm means 1,000 years. How do you show that they believe in premillennialism? Just because they talked about the 1,000 years, 1,000 years. He said very clearly. And I was just a student asking him a question. He was a teacher. He said they knew there was a millennium. They knew the Lord Jesus Christ was going to set that thing up. So they had to be pre-millennial to set the thing up. See, church father after church father, as is in his book, talks about the 1,000 years, the Kiliasm, and so on. And so it's a very clear thing. Just because the church fathers talked about the 1,000 years and believed in the millennial reign of Christ doesn't mean the church fathers were right on other things. And also the theologians that follow the church fathers that are quoted in Dr. Schaefer's book, that believe in the millennium, the pre-millennial reign of Christ, he come before the millennium, that doesn't mean they're necessarily right on everything either. Because most of those that he names in the book, Dan, are people that use the critical text and not the text of this afternoon. You know, so they're right on that, but they're wrong on their Bible as far as the text is concerned. Yes, ma'am?
Some of the people lived during John's time and Polycarp, all those people.
Yes.
Direct
contact with the apostles, like the gospel, like the apostle John.
Mm-hmm. And, I can't ask any questions
because
I'm working.
Okay. Anyone else? Now, comments or questions, forward.
It'd be
yes.
It'd be very easy to think that if the Antichrist is going to be reigning on earth and the Christians aren't going to take the sign of the beast,
uh-huh.
He could say, well, I have this special. Whatever, to get rid of all the Christians. So he could take credit for the fact that we were all born.
After he comes on the scene.
Right.
Possible.
Right.
He's got a bunch of
other lies. Right. So he could say, you know, well, I got rid of all these people because they were such a bad influence, yeah. You know, and I have this special biological warfare that got rid of mm-hmm. them all, you know, instead right. of giving the credit to Jesus.
Yeah.
Because he's known to twist things around.
Yes. To me, it seems very logical.
Right. He would say, okay, I got rid of all
these
people. You know, and if you don't follow me, the devil, you know, I'm
going to
get rid of you too.
All right, let's close then with a word for us. It's been a good, interesting discussion. Our Father, we thank you that we can look at this book of Daniel. We don't understand everything about it, Lord, but we do know the overall picture, the picture that Daniel portrayed of the kings, and the Lord Jesus returning and casting down all those kings and setting up after this tribulation period, his 1,000-year reign of dominion and power, and the people on this earth will obey him, and he will rule and reign. It will not be this terrible chaos that we have all around us today with homosexuality and thievery and murders and all kinds of killings and the terrible situation. We thank you that it will be a reign of peace. We thank you for this time that we will, as the saints saved and born again, will be reigning with Christ, our Savior, during this millennial reign. So, go with us and bless us, use us, those that are here, guide us and direct us, and those listening by other means. May our Savior be the center of our lives. And may we love him and serve him this week. And bring us back safely in the Lord's day. We ask in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right. Thank you
for coming.